going to jump into part two of Malachi this morning, 6 weeks study that we're going to take through the book of Malachi. Last week we talked about wholehearted. What does it mean to worship God, serve God wholeheartedly? Because you had a group of people in Malachi's day that were really kind of going through the motions. They were just going half-heartedly. They hadn't stopped worshiping God. It's not like they had stopped worshiping Him or serving Him. They just really were kind of going at it half-heartedly. And man, I read that, and when I started preparing to share this message with you over the next couple weeks, I thought, man, unfortunately, that's happening in our world today, isn't it? We kind of just go through the motions of serving God. I don't want us to be a church that serves God half-heartedly. I don't want us to be a people of God that serve God half-heartedly. I want us to give Him our whole heart. I want us to serve Him wholeheartedly. That's why I chose this message, and I pray that we're able to encourage us to begin to spur us on to do that more. Now, today's message is really introspective. What I mean by that is I want you, today I'm going to speak to people individually, and I'm going to ask you to just look inside. I get the advantage. I start working on this on Monday. So I've been introspecting all week on this, okay? It's really hit me hard, and I pray the same thing over you all, that you just look inside yourself today and just let God speak to you today as His Word speaks to you. It has the power to do that. The Bible tells us it's alive, it's living, it's active, so therefore it can speak to you today. I ask you to hear it in that heart. Last week we talked about the great truth of Malachi. The great truth of God is that God loves His people. God loves His people. And you remember last week, God said, I loved you. And the people, instead of saying, God, thank you for loving me, you know what they said? They said, how have you loved us? Tell me how you've loved us. Oh, what a heartbreaking statement. But unfortunately, that's how many times we respond to God. He tells us a great truth, and we question Him. God reminded us last week, I'll show you how I love you. I love you by showing you mercy. I sent the Savior in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, secondly, I'll show you how much I love you because I'm faithful. I have been faithful. I am faithful, and I will be faithful. You see that beauty of His continuing faithfulness to His people. I call today's message simply, we have a problem. We have a problem. So today we're going to talk about the problem. I'm not going to give you all the answers today, but I'm going to ask you, like I said, to just look inside your heart as we look at this problem that the people of God had in Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, if you got your Bible, we're going to begin in verse 6. We're going to go through the end of the chapter. If you don't have one, got the words right up here on the screen for you. I want you to follow along with me. Let's see what the problem was that the people of God were having and see what we can learn from it today. Verse 6, here's what it says. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or what is lame or sick, and this you bring as an offering. Shall I accept that from your hand? Says the Lord. Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. May God bless the reading and the teaching of his word today. Keep your Bibles open if you would. We're going to refer back to this many times today as we walk through these verses together. One of the first things that happens many times is when you begin to doubt God's love for you is you begin to, what the Bible says, despise his name. Now, we've got to define that for just a minute. If we doubt that God loves us and we begin to despise his name, normally when you hear the word despise, you think kind of a loathing or a, you know, kind of just, I don't want to have anything to do with that anymore. It's kind of a contempt, if you will, when you think of the word to despise something. The biblical definition of the despise is actually just a little bit different. The best definition I could find for it was when we despise God's name, we treat it as insignificant. We treat it as expendable or replaceable, or we give it little value. So when we despise God's name, we do that. We treat it maybe as just insignificant. We think it's expendable. We don't give it the value that is worth, that it's, God is worthy of. So I want you to understand as we begin this, the first sin of the people that we see in the book of Malachi, besides doubting that God loved them, because they doubted that God loved them, they begin to despise his name. They begin to think less of him. They begin to not give him the place of honor, the place of authority that he should have in their lives. Malachi begins the section that we read today with a real world example. He said, a son honors his father, and a servant honors his master. So he goes real world. He says, you know, if you're a son, you honor your father. If you're a servant, you honor your master. In other words, you treat each other better than you treat God. He's saying, you'll do this in the world, but for some reason you're struggling with giving me the honor that is due me. God, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the creator of all things. And so God says this to the people, and you want to think like last week that they'd go, Lord, you're right. Lord, forgive us. We fall down on our knees and we ask for your forgiveness. And no, they don't. Again, you know what they do? They say, Lord, give me an example. How have we done that? That's exactly what I said. How have we done that? I don't remember doing that. I don't remember. He says, you know what you've done? You've offered worthless sacrifices. You've offered sickly animals. You've offered less than the best to me. And you know, Justin, that, it's hard for me to understand that because I didn't bring any animals today, and I appreciate that. I don't want them, okay? I don't need them, okay? Well, Jesus covered all that. We'll talk about that later, okay? So, what does this have to do? It has to do with a heart, doesn't it? What do we bring to God? What are we offering up to him? You realize he created all things. He's the creator of everything. He's the creator of all the gifts that I have. He's the creator of all the resources that I have. He's the owner. You understand? I mean, you know this. And yet what we find is the people, even though they knew this, God said, hey, I loved you. I've loved you. I always will love you. You're despising my name. You're treating me as expendable. And they said, how? And he said, you just bring me second best. You bring to me what is left over. You had a bag of apples. You ate half of them. You brought me the rotten ones. You know? You had a new calf. You kept the good one. You brought me the blind one. You understand that in Scripture, commanded from the very beginning was to give God our first fruits, to give God the best, the choicest. Every good and perfect thing we have comes from him. Doesn't he deserve our best? So the people of God were giving him way less than the best. And so God says to them, you have despised my name with your worthless offerings. You ever think about the name of God? What does it mean to despise the name of God? I remember the Ten Commandments. You remember when you were a kid, you remember Thou shalt not, we King James, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. My whole life I thought that was just about cussing, okay? Like, don't cuss. Don't say the Lord's name in vain. Am I the only one that thought that? Apparently I didn't get a good education. Okay, so I thought, you know, just don't cuss. It's so much, don't do that. I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm saying don't do that, but there's more to it than that, okay? God's name is who he is, isn't it? It's the character of God. It's the worth of God, the majesty of God. You ever think about when Solomon dedicated the first temple? King Solomon, they built this majestic temple, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant in, and they brought all the things in. And Solomon prayed this beautiful prayer, and he said, Lord, bless this place. Lord, fill this place, the place where your name dwells. Even Jesus, when he spoke, we learned the Lord's Prayer. We often say it. We just say the Lord's Prayer. Here's what it says, though. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's something to the name of God. There's more than just a name. It's not just God, Lord. It's who he is. And who he is, we read it. Did you catch it? There's a bunch of times in here. The Lord of hosts. Did you see that? The King Almighty, the Lord Almighty. Who God is everything. God's name is everything that he is. He told Moses, I am who I am. Creator God, God Almighty. You come to me and you despise my name when you bring me these worthless gifts. There's a gap. I told you last week, there's a gap between how God thinks and how man thinks, and we see it here. God demands our best. Man thinks he's bringing his best, and there's a gap there. You see, there's a disconnect somewhere. Sacrifices were supposed to be of the purest, of the highest quality. Why? Think about this for a minute. You are bringing something to God. In the Old Testament time, you were bringing something to God to make you clean, or to make something clean, purify something. Would you bring something defective to bring purity? That doesn't even make sense, does it? Like, Lord, I've sinned. Here's a rotten apple. It just doesn't make sense, does it? Like, here's a maimed goat. No. I'm going to bring something perfect because I want to be cleansed. I want to be made perfect. I got to take you to Jesus. Folks, all this points to Jesus. The whole sacrificial system points to Jesus. You think about this. Why did Jesus have to not have sin? He had to be the perfect sacrifice so that our sin could be covered. You and I told you this for weeks in Galatians. You can't keep the law. You broke it early. We all did. He didn't. He's the perfect sacrifice. He had to be perfect. Imagine if God said, you know what? I'm going to give you my second best as a sacrifice. Praise God, he didn't, folks. He offered up a perfect sacrifice. God says to his people here, he says to us, stop giving me second best. Stop. Stop giving me less than best. You're not fooling anybody. He says in verse 8 and 9, he says in verse 9 here, I tell you what, verse 8, try doing that with your governor. He said, go take to the earthly authorities, your earthly authorities. You take them something less than what they demand of you and see what happens to you. You're more scared of the law of the land than the holy creator God. Ouch. We're more worried about getting a ticket than we are about offending the God of the universe. That hurt me. We don't like to think about that, but that's what he's saying to him. He said, this is what you're doing. You're toying with the God of the universe, and you won't even do that to the governor of the land. One of the things that caught me a ton in this is the people of God at this point didn't stop offering sacrifices. Like, they didn't, they could have just said, you know what, I'm not gonna offer any, we're just done, I don't care, we're done. They kept going through the motions of offering sacrifice, but it was less than the best. Do you understand? Their hearts were far from him. They were going through the motions. Folks, we are guilty of this sometimes. We go through the motions We get up, we get dressed, look good to come to church, and we say the right things, and we know the songs, we sing along sometimes. You know, we go through the motions, but our hearts are not there. We're just giving half-hearted effort and half-hearted sacrifice and worship to God. And God says to the church, the nation of Israel, he says to us today, verse 10, this is hard. You see that? I wish you'd just shut the door. I wish one of you would just close the door. And you're like, man, I don't like this part of the Bible. This is not the part I like. I wish you'd just close. You see, the temple of God was a place where his presence was. It was where people would come worship. And he said, I don't want you to even come into my presence. I don't want you to come into my presence. I won't accept your offerings if you're not going to bring them wholeheartedly to me. If you're not going to bring me the best. Why would God say something like that? Do you understand that he's going back to what we talked about last week? I mean, his love for us is great. His mercy for us is great. His faithfulness to us is great. All these good things he's given to us, and we can't find the ability, it seems, to even give him the best of what we have, which is nothing compared to the best that he has. Nothing. So he says, I want you to just close the doors. Well, man, we wouldn't have many churches, would we? So I'm thankful God is a God of grace. You understand he's trying to make a point here. He's not saying, I'm going to close all the doors. He's saying, I want you to self-evaluate before you walk into the presence of God. Now, that's not necessarily a place anymore. You understand that the Spirit of God resides in you. If you're a child of God, you're in his presence, and our lives are to be a living sacrifice, always tuned. Do you understand? So when we're in the presence of God, we shouldn't come into the presence of God half-heartedly. Malachi says, I hope you throw yourself at the feet of grace. Throw yourself at the mercies of God and pray that he would find you favorable. God had given them the temple back. You remember they lost it. They went into exile. They lost it. It got destroyed. It got rebuilt. Haggai and some of those guys, Nehemiah and Ezra, all these guys rebuilt the temple. And here it was. And God said, you may have the place back, but I need you to work on your heart. I want you to think about this just for a minute. If the people of God struggled to welcome God's presence, to understand God's presence in the temple, what did that say about how they were going to welcome God's Son when he appeared on earth? We know the answer to that, unfortunately, don't we? God's Son came. He came in the very place where the temple, where the presence of God was supposed to be, and he was rejected there. So we understand that sometimes God is trying to teach us, trying to give us signs of the things to come, and we're not awake, we're not alert, we're not looking, we're not seeking after him wholeheartedly. Verse 11 reminds us that there is coming a day from the rising of the sun to the setting that God's name will be proclaimed as great among the nations. People will offer a pure offering. This is looking forward to the time of Jesus, also beyond the time of Jesus. Do you understand that you and I take the temple of God with us now in our hearts? We take that God, he dwells within his people now, you know. You don't have to have a building anymore. This church is not this building. The family of God is not this building. These are important things, but they reside here, don't they? And so we walk out of that and we say, God, I know your name's going to be great. God reminds them again. Malachi kind of reiterates his point. He says, you know, you keep profaning, you keep bringing these. He says, there's an interesting verse there. You may have caught that in verse 13. You literally snort. I don't know if you snort when you laugh. That's your issue. So, you know, you literally snort at God. Basically, you turn up your nose at him and say, this is weary. I'm tired of it. Tired of doing all this stuff. And God says, you're just going through the motions. He said, you bring, this is just in paraphrase, you bring roadkill sacrifices. You know, he said, you bring stuff that's lame and sick and been taken by violence. I don't know what you're bringing to me, but it's certainly not the best. He's talking to the priests. He's talking to the people. The priests are the ones that are supposed to look at the sacrifices and say, this is acceptable. Bring it in. The priests, unfortunately, were looking at it and going, that'll do. Here it is. People are at fault too. They're bringing the stuff. You understand this sin breeds sin, doesn't it? Sin breeds sin. Where sin is, more sin abounds, and all these things begin to snowball into this half-hearted worship. God says, verse 14, cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. O Lord, I'm going to give you the best of everything I have. I promise, Lord, I'm going to do this. And when it comes time for us to sacrifice, we offer God something way less than what we promised and what is best. Now, God's a God of mercy. God's a God of forgiveness. But he gives us the words here to remind us. You see in the verse, end of verse 14, he reminds us who he is. He reminds us why we give these good things to him. He says, because I am a great king. And my name, boy, there's that again, isn't it? My name will be feared among the nations. God is still the Lord of hosts, isn't he? He's still the King of kings, creator God. Nothing changed with God. Did you see? In the book of Malachi, nothing changed with God. Who changed? People. I got to tell you, folks, God's still the same today. Absolutely the same. It's not him that has changed. It's unfortunately our attitudes toward him that have changed. We've lost our awe of him. We've lost our desire to give him our whole heart because we many times snort and turn our nose up at the things that we say make us weary. Well, you're in there, you think, Justin, that's horrible. I feel horrible about myself. I'm leaving. That's not the end, folks. Hang on one second, okay? I want to tell you, God gives us great grace and great truth. I want to leave you with two things today. How can we combat these? We looked at the problem. We have a problem. We understand what it is. Half-hearted sacrifices, not giving God our best. How can we combat these? The first thing we have to do, we're going to speak to the leaders. Leaders must set an example in sacrifice. Now, who's a leader? You can define this leader in a lot of different ways. I'm going to say a leader is anyone who proclaims the Word of God, who teaches the Word of God, anyone that ministers in any sort of capacity. And so it's not going to just be me. I agree, it begins with me. I take that. You know, as a leader of this local body, I must set an example and sacrifice. My staff must set an example. Our deacons, our board guys, our Sunday school teachers, our leaders must set an example and sacrifice. Folks, if we are not, then nobody in the church is going to do it either. Nobody's going to do it. They're not going to follow after leaders who say one thing and do something completely opposite. And ask us, leaders, are we doing things that cost us something? Are we just doing the things that fit into our schedule? Are we just ministering in ways that are easy for us? Or are we making ourselves uncomfortable and sacrificing something? God, hold me accountable to this. Hold my leaders accountable to this. We must set the example in sacrifice. What does that look like? Listen, that's everything. You say, you're going to talk about money. Yes. Financially, you lead in sacrificial giving, leaders. Your resources, your talents, you lead out in the gifts that God has given you. In your prayer life, are you sacrificing time? Are you in God's Word? Do you understand? This covers a whole lot of things. Am I doing things to stretch myself and sacrificing? Until we do, church will not follow after that. Now you say, well, that's good. I'm not a leader. I'm off the hook. Nope, number two. Everyone must fight against self-deception. You say, what in the world are you talking about, Justin? I'm going to summarize it this way. It's a whole lot easier to see sin in other people. Like, I see y'all's sins. I mean, I got y'all, okay? Kidding. Just making sure you're awake, okay? I see sin in other people. You see it. You look around, you go, I see that person's fault. I see their fault. And, boy, I see theirs. They got, you know. We do that. Don't act like you don't. You do, okay? You see other people. Who's the hardest person to see sin in? Ourselves. Other people may see it, right? Everybody sees it. They're like, you know, but we are blinded many times. It's funny, the people of God in Malachi, right? I mean, everybody that reads this book goes, man, these guys are idiots. They were, you know, I see their sin, yet how come they didn't see it? Because we must fight against being self-deceived. It's very easy for us to bebop along through life and think, I'm doing pretty good. Now, here's the prayer you got to pray that is the hardest. I think this is one of the hardest prayers you'll ever pray. It's one of the hardest prayers I ever pray. Lord, show me my sin. Oh. Lord, reveal to me my sin. You're going to be uncomfortable with that. That's exactly the prayer that God was asking the people of Malachi to pray. That's exactly the prayer he's asking us to pray. Lord, show me my sin. I must fight against self-deception. One of the ways we do that is by studying God's word. Why don't we open Malachi? Why don't we open a book that was written a long, long time ago? Because it speaks to our hearts. Scripture speaks to us. John Calvin, great reformer, writer, refers to Scripture as a pair of glasses. Here's what he says. He says, when our eyes are dimmed with old age, just as when our eyes are dim with old age and unless we have glasses, we can't discern anything, so such is our feebleness for understanding unless Scripture guides us in seeking after God. I believe God's word is timeless and speaks to us and helps reveal to us our sin. May God open our eyes. May I put on the glasses of Scripture so that I can see God, what it is that I need to work on, what I need to combat. Because I have these problems just like the people of Malachi's day is. So I'll leave you with a couple of prayers. We need to say, Lord, forgive us when we give you the second best. Father, forgive us when we give you second best. Lord, let those of us who are leaders lead by example. And Lord, then we pray that those who are under our authority would follow that example. That's my prayer, Lord. I want to lead by example. I want to be a sacrificial giver. I pray those who fall under my leadership would follow after that. And the second prayer is simply we pray, Lord, help me see my own sin. And then when I see it, this is important, I can't brush it away or sweep it aside and not deal with it. Lord, you desire all of our lives. You desire every bit of us. May we offer that up to you freely. Folks, here's the deal. I can't do that on my own. I need the transforming power of Jesus Christ in my life. I need the continuing presence of His Spirit in my life. I need the life-giving power that being in a relationship with Him brings. And that's when I can begin to worship Him wholeheartedly. So I'm going to ask you today just to bow your head for just a moment. I'm going to ask you to just in your own mind. This is about you and God today. Not your neighbor, not the person sitting next to you, not the person across from you. I need you to ask today, Lord, is there something in my life? Lord, is there something in my life that I'm holding back from you? Maybe it's my worship. Maybe it's my resource. I don't know. That's between you and God. Lord, forgive me if I've brought you second best. Maybe you need to just pray that prayer. In a minute when we sing, maybe you need to come up here. The altar is going to be open. You need to confess that. You just come up here and say, Lord, I'm half-heartedly worshiping you. I'm half-heartedly serving you. Maybe today you need to ask that question out loud here at the altar. Lord, show me my sin. Reveal in me my sin. Father, make me aware of it and help me overcome it. If you're here today and you need to pray, I invite you to come. Our prayer partners will be here. The altar is going to be open. I just want there to be a freedom in this place to come and do those things. You do business with God yourself. And if you're here today and you need to know how to have a relationship with the Savior, you say, you know what's missing in my life is I don't have Christ in my life. I don't have the strength to do this. You need to come and confess Him as Savior and Lord. You need to understand what that means. You come talk to me. You talk to one of our prayer partners. We will help you understand how you can begin that journey today. So Father, we come to you this moment. We simply ask, Lord, I'm asking for a freedom in this place, Father. I'm asking for a freedom for us to cry out to you from our heart. Lord, we got a problem. We have a problem. Lord, we wrestle sometimes against giving you less than our best. And Father, we can't even see it in ourselves because we are deceived. Father, may we break through those things today. Be honest with you. Be honest with ourselves. God, I want to worship you wholeheartedly. I want to serve you wholeheartedly. I want to sacrifice all that I have to you wholeheartedly, Father. I pray that's our cry. I want that to be our prayer in this room today, Lord. So may your Spirit move freely among us as we reflect, as we respond to you. Pray that in Jesus' name today.